chapter number 26. Shelby, Andrea, we have our service simultaneously translated into Spanish. So we have a bilingual service. So Edie is not leaving because she's mad at the pastor. She's going in the back room because she's going to be talking through microphones so people with their earpieces can hear what I say in Spanish. So that's what we do here at our church. So we're looking at our theme for this year. Our theme is behind me, the essential and the enduring word. Our former themes are behind us, and I believe we've built over the last 7 years to this place. So we've been looking at a number of doctrines and things in the morning service, other things in the evening service, and other things on Wednesday night. So this morning, on Sunday mornings, I'm trying to lay really a good foundation. And we've looked at the principle of revelation. We've looked at the principle of inspiration. And this morning I'd like to look at another foundational truth that I put an interesting word on it. But if you turn to Matthew chapter 26, I think we'll be able to figure it out really kind of quickly. In this context, Jesus has had time with the disciples. The Last Supper has already taken place. All of the details behind Judas has already taken place. The soldiers are on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus is going to be arrested. He's going to go before a number of different political, religious, civil leaders. And in Matthew 26, we're going to start in verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. That wasn't a very long sentence, but she was accusing him. She was identifying him. She was pointing him out as being a Jesus follower. And of course, you know, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. But he denied before them all, saying, now obviously it wasn't just one person. One person spoke, but there was a crowd. So for whatever reason, Peter did not want to be identified as a Jesus follower. In light of where his master was. Please remember, his master now was in front of a tribunal. He was going to be sentenced to death. So Peter says, I know not what thou sayest. Lie number one. Verse 71. And when he was gone out into the porch, so first he was without in the palace, now he's going out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, again, this is focusing on an individual, but the individual and the crowd is there. This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. He was again identified by somebody else. And again he denied with an oath. Now, an oath is simply a covenant or a promise, or we might say, I'm swearing an oath. So Peter was swearing an oath. What did he say? I do not know the man. He's getting a little passionate. He might even be getting a little angry. He might have been getting, his volume might be going up a little bit. Line number two, verse 73. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them. Now how did they know that? For thy speech bewrayeth thee. That's an old English word for a modern English word that basically says, gives you away. Now, every once in a while, my Long Island accent pops up, and you can hear it, and it gives me away. If you've ever been down to New York, you know how they talk down there. If you've been to Boston or wherever you're from, people have an accent, or they have a, you know, dialect. And apparently, Peter being from Galilee, his speech, his dialect, gave him away in Jerusalem. Then began he to curse and to swear. So we've now gone from lie number one, lie number two, now lie number three. Peter is really into this denial thing. I know not the man. And immediately, the cock crew, the rooster, did exactly what Jesus predicted would happen. Verse 75. And Peter, what? Remembered. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to talk about the doctrine of recollection. You might not have ever heard of that before. But I think it's important. Because the Bible clearly says Peter remembered. What did he remember? What did he remember? What are the next four words? The word of Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. He remembered the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, it'd be good if we did the same. If we remembered the words of the Lord. So I pray that you'd speak to us in a special way today. There's no accident that we're here. We're thankful Rebecca and his wife and family are back. Prayed for them as they were away. For Nearest to be back with us after her surgery, and others that are not here because of medical treatments or surgeries. I think of Dan and Mary and others. Debbie Taylor, I ask and pray that you'd be with Dave and Susan as they're away in Arizona on vacation. Others that are traveling, perhaps for Jeff and Stephanie and their family on their way to Kentucky. Again, we're grateful for guests and visitors that come to be with our church family every week. But this morning, we're asking for your visitation here. Lord, what would we be like if you showed up? Well, your word says, when two or three are gathered together in your name, you're in the midst. So we know you're here. Mary at the tomb didn't recognize Jesus at first until he spoke her name. Lord, I pray you do that today. That you'd use the word of God and the spirit of God to speak our name. That we might hear you today. That our lives might be changed, as Peter's was, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we leave this passage of Scripture, let's look at verse number 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me, how many times? And the invitation at the end of the sermon was, and he went out and wept bitterly. So, what about this doctrine of recollection? Well, the Bible says Peter remembered. Well, what does the dictionary say about remember? Well, to remember means simply to bring something back to your mind. It's kind of like retaining in your memory. To record something. It could mean to have a recollection of, to remember. Now, I want to give something very simple sermon this morning. In order for us to remember something, we have to be exposed to it initially. So let's look back at some examples, perhaps. If you turn in your Bible to John chapter 13. John 13. When people use a recipe for cooking or for baking, it's always a good idea to be familiar with and to have read the entire recipe. That's always a good idea on a paint can. Read what it says, because you might be too hot, too cold. It might be the wrong product. And whatever you're doing, it's always a good idea to have a big picture, or at least have an experimental walkthrough of that particular process. whether you're going to be demonstrating in front of Pinterest or whether you're going to be doing something you've never done before. It's always a good idea to try it out first before you're publicly performing that particular item. When you purchase something from a box store that needs assembly, it's always a good idea to be familiar with and have read the entire set of directions before assembling the object, men. A medical doctor does not specialize in one field while ignoring the rest of the body. So too for the Christian who reads only those passages or books of the Bible that they are accustomed to or comfortable with. The Holy Spirit has links, if you're familiar with computer lingo, and hyperlinks within the Word of God that automatically highlight key words. In fact, all words, key phrases, and key events that you can look up anytime, anywhere in the Bible. If you recall, Jesus was warning his disciples that one day he would be arrested. He would be tried. He would be beaten. He would be crucified. He'd be buried. And he'd rise again the third day. John 13. Verse number 19. John 13, 19 says, "Now I tell you, before it come, that when it is come to pass, what? Ye may believe that I am he." Now please remember, you can't recall what you've never been exposed to. That makes sense, right? Very simple, basic thing. So if you've never read about David, then the references to David in the New Testament, you won't know anything about, because you didn't read about David. John chapter 14, should be one page away. John 14, verse 29 says, "And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." Jesus is again in what we would call his priestly prayer, his prayer before the Last Supper with the disciples. Jesus is reminding his disciples, before this comes to pass, I need to let you know that this is what's going to happen. Turn to John 15. John chapter 15, verse 20 says, "Remember the word that I said unto you." You see that word that begins that verse? Remember. Remember. It's almost like your mother saying to you before going out with your boys. Now remember, when the lights turn on, you need to come home. Now some of us used to go play outside when we were kids. I don't know what kids do anymore. But we used to go out and play, Victor. And my mom used to have this rule. Like when the street lights went on, you were in the house. If you weren't in the house, you were in trouble. You were in trouble. Oh, the street lights are on. It's almost like Cinderella. When the clock strikes 12, you better be in the right place at the right time. 15:20, "Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." So what I'm trying to say essentially is, in order for recollection to work, we need to be familiar with the whole thing. John 16, one more page over. John 16, verse number 4 says, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." Turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. In order to remember something, you have to be exposed to something. You have to get the information first. This is my subtle way of saying, if you haven't read the Bible through, this principle doesn't apply to you. Because how can you recall what you've never been exposed to? Simple, right? Oh, I remember that. How can you remember that? You've been there, done that. But if you haven't been there, done that in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can't call to your remembrance. Anyway, Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 66. Same story, different author. Let's see what they say. Mark 14, 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, what did he do? This might be a good moment to pause. Because some people wonder, when they read the Word of God, if the Word of God in their lap is meaningful, is it personal, is it... And they've got all kind of, we all have issues. And so, as we've talked about before, the words in that book are similar to words you'd find in a recipe or in a comic book or in a history book. The words used in English can be found anywhere, but the words in that book are different. Because the book says the words are alive. They're powerful. They're sharper than two-edged sword. Now, how can that be? How can the words that you might read in a comic book, the same words put in the Bible in such a way, obviously superintended by God, that they're different? Well, one of the reasons why they're different is because, as the video showed, the more you read of the Word of God, the more the Word of God reads you. And there's no other book in the universe. There's no other tool. There's no other instrument. There's no medical device. There's no scientific device. There's no measuring instrument that measures us the way the Word of God does. You might have a calibration instrument. You might have an X-ray machine. You might have a telescope. You might have some kind of a scale. You might have some way to analytically qualify or quantify something. But the Word of God reads us. Hebrews 4:12. Sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder, soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, as in a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. So why did Peter respond to the invitation of this rooster? Think about that. That'd make a great sermon. The rooster preached, and Peter responded. Why didn't Peter respond to the Lord? Why don't we respond to the Lord or the Word of God? Just a thought. Peter remembered. What did he remember? Something that God had said about him personally. That's when the book in your hand, the book in your lap, all of a sudden, you almost want to drop it. Because you realize that what's in your hand is loaded. It's on fire. It can burn your hands. It can burn your heart. It can burn your mind. Because it knows you. It knows me. As far as we run, and as far as we try to deny what's in our life, the universe isn't big enough for you to run. You can't hide. Jonah's the perfect example. So here's Peter. Big macho Peter. Lord, I'll die for you. And Jesus says, Peter, before the cock crow, you're going to deny me thrice. No, never. Well, here he is. Prophecies being fulfilled for him. One person out of billions of people that have ever been born and conceived on this world. But here in the recorded scripture, we have an example of the Word of God speaking to a child of God personally. In one of his most vulnerable moments, he was denying God, his relationship with the Lord. Who was closer to Jesus than Peter? Anybody have an answer? Thank you. High five, Larry. Yes. Okay, so Larry knew I was a setup. John put his head on the heart of God. Remember? John put his head on the chest of Christ at the Last Supper. When Jesus was dying on the cross, did he say to Peter, Peter, here's your mother, meaning Jesus' mother, Mary? No, he didn't say that to Peter. Why? He couldn't trust Peter with his mother. He trusted his mother with John. With John, the beloved John. So Peter revealed his heart when his life was being squeezed. In that moment of trial, when Christ was being tried, again, Peter was afar off, so Peter got to the palace. You know, one of those Christians looking in on Sunday morning. What's taking place at church today? Oh, Jesus is being tried. He's going to be crucified. Oh, goody, goody. Let's go watch and see what happens. That's what happened, right? That's what was taking place. In order to recollect something, you have to be exposed to it. In order to personally be exposed to something, now this is really going to blow your mind. You got to see it. In order to be personally exposed to something, you have to hear it. In order to be personally exposed to something, you have to experience it. Let me say it another way. If you never saw it, you'll never remember it. If you never heard it, you'll never recall it. If you never experienced it, you'll never remember it. Luke chapter number 22, if you'd go there. Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter 22. Same story. Now we have the gospel writer Luke telling us about Peter's denial. Luke 22 verse 54 begins by saying, "Then took they him, Christ, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed," don't miss the next two words, "afar off." Let me pause. I feel like I need to stop there just for a minute and park. Are you a far-off Christian? Are you following? Yeah, Pastor, I'm following. Well, how do you describe that walk with the Lord you have? Oh, I'm close to God. Well, Peter was pretty close to God. But at this moment, where was he? At this moment, where are you? Verse 55, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Pause. Remember Lot? Lot went in a place where he thought would be better for him. So Abraham took this and Lot took that. Lot looked toward Sodom. Lot moved toward Sodom. Lot moved into Sodom. Lot was at the gate of Sodom. Well, here it says, Peter sat down among them. He wasn't joining the Roman Praetorian Guard, but he sat down among the locals in Jerusalem there. Probably not a good thing. Verse 56, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him. I could just see the maid going over to Peter. You know, checking him over. Now remember what Peter had done. Peter had taken the sword, sliced the guy's ear off. What if you were Malchus's family? You know, you were one of the relatives, extended family. Hey, what happened to Uncle Joe? Uncle Malchus. Oh, did you hear he got his ear taken off? You're kidding me. Oh, yeah, one of those stupid disciples of the Lord. But then the Lord put it right back on again. So here's this person, this maid, eyeing Peter up and down and said, this man was also with him. Verse 57, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also one of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And it's about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Again, remember, it's his speech, his dialect that gave him away. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned. Now, this isn't found in any other gospel account. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. The Lord didn't say a word. He just looked at him. And their eyes met. Who knows how far away they were. But the eyes of the Lord looked in the eyes of Peter. And the Bible says, and Peter, what? Remembered. What did he remember? He remembered the word of the Lord. Until. Church family, listen to me if you could. If you remember nothing I say today, this might be the most profound thing I've ever said in my entire ministry. Until we hear the word of the Lord and we remember the word of the Lord, there will be no change. You'll stay the same. There'll be no transformation in your life, in my life. Because it says here, and Peter went out. He remembered the word of the Lord. So the doctrine of recollection is here. The problem is when the Word of God and the Spirit of God moves us and we do nothing about it, nothing changes. Then the voice of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God get quieter and quieter and quieter because we are constantly, continually shutting it off. We're not listening. We're not paying attention. One of the greatest things that helps you remember is what might be considered your fight-flight mode of operation when your adrenaline is going crazy. Nate, you used to be a paramedic, right? EMT. So there are people that have seen horrific things that they haven't necessarily wanted to see. But if you've ever been in the military or something like that, So you either fight or flight. You either engage in that particular scenario or you flee because you can't respond to the emotional trauma that's happening to you. Peter, I don't want to say was comfortable, but he just watched his Lord get arrested. His Lord was taken by the soldiers to get tried. Peter is now getting comfortable. Doesn't the Bible say that he's warming himself? We're getting comfortable. That's the worst place for a Christian to be. Dusty and Ashley have their rig outside in the parking lot. They were talking about the wind. Remember the wind we had last week? They were in a truck with the three kids. You were in a house. I was in a house. They were in a rig. My house was... My house was kind of moving around a little bit, groaning. If you've ever been in this church, when it's really windy, you can hear the walls creaking. But we were comfortable. Peter was getting comfortable. Be careful. Because when you're getting comfortable, your senses are getting dulled. When we eat too much, Thanksgiving, where do we go? Give me the nearest couch, man. We have so much turkey, we're like a whale. We get beached on a bed or a couch. Don't wake me up until the game starts. Why does that happen? Because our senses are dulled. Right? If you sleep too long and you know it, do you feel better or worse? You feel worse. Why is that? Your senses are dulled. You're too comfortable. Peter was warming himself. Jesus had said to him in the garden, watch and pray that ye be not tempted. He wasn't watching. He wasn't praying. He was being tempted. And the Lord predicted this object lesson would happen. This personal object lesson for Peter is similar to the personal object lessons you and I will get from God. If God loves us, he has a personal object lesson just ready and waiting for us to experience. But I must warn you that unless or until you've been exposed personally, you cannot recall. Okay. So let's look at the tools that God has given us in order to do that. This is, I will call the summary. This is the most important part of the sermon here. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 14. John 14. So as we are trying to remember, knowing that remembering is important to God, I've got 25 pages of Bible verses in my office on remember. All the verses that talk about remember, remembrance. So it's not a small thing that God wants us to remember some things. So how do we, as human beings, as older, not all of us, human beings, try to say to ourselves, you know, you've all seen the commercials on TV, right? Now they're discovering things in jellyfish that are supposed to make us smarter. I wonder what happened to all those dumb people before jellyfish were mashed up and put into a blender, and they figured out scientifically how mashed up jellyfish will make us remember better. I don't know. But I do have an alternative. So we don't have to buy those crazy things on television. Something far better than that is available to us. But please understand, you cannot remember unless you've been there at least once. And unless you've been there, unless you've read it, everything I'm going to say doesn't apply to you. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. I will pray the Father, and he, God the Father, shall give you another comforter. Jesus was saying to them, I'm not going to be here anymore. My 3.5 years worth of ministry are going to end. Our relationship is going to change radically, drastically, forever. However, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to give you another comforter. So, as I'm getting toward that time, as most of us are to the back end of the bell curve of strength and youth and so on, I can be assured by God, through the Word of God, that I don't have to remember everything. God will do that for me. Raquel, that's good news. That's good news. Because it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he, the comforter, may abide with you how long? That's not bad news. He'll abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth. What is he called? The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be where? In you. So if we need to remember, we have the Spirit of Truth within us. Look at verse number 26. Chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, what will he do? He shall teach you just a little bit. No, he'll teach you all things. What things will he teach you? Now that's really the point. Will he teach you something you've never been exposed to before? No. He will teach you what you've been willing to be taught in the first place. Meaning, if you're unteachable, how can the Holy Spirit teach you? He will teach you all things, and this is the best part, and bring a few things to your remembrance. No. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. So, when I've read through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and say, there's so much there I can't remember it. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. There's so much there. Hosea. And then you start the minor prophet. How can I remember all that stuff? You don't have to. You don't have to. I just invented a new doctrine, the doctrine of recollection. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. Qualifier, though. He can't bring to your remembrance what you haven't read. So don't say to me, I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't understand what it says. Nobody understands everything that the Bible says. That's why it's called God's book. But if you've never read it one time, if you've never read from the beginning to the end, how can the Holy Spirit teach you? You can't teach yourself the Bible. That's crazy. But the Holy Spirit can. And he can, as you're reading, say, wait a minute. As we're studying today in John chapter number 20, the ladies went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. But there was a rock in the way. A stone was in the way. So when they came with all their spices, they couldn't do what they had planned to do. They had prepared and got all their baskets together with their anointing, whatever they needed, and their fabric, and they were going to anoint the body of Jesus the way it was supposed to be done. But when they got to the tomb, where was the stone? The stone was gone. So everything that they had prepared to do, to go to that stone, to do to Jesus, where was his body? It was gone. So did they do what they had planned to do? No. Why? Body wasn't there. Did they understand? No. Okay. So as you're reading through the scriptures, there might not be everything that you understand. So as you read about John, and the ladies go to the tomb, and where's the Lord? Oh, he's gone. Well, why did they go there? They went there to anoint his body. But you have to read all four Gospels to be able to get all that information. Because not one Gospel tells everything. So the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. Look with me at chapter 15, John 15, verse 26. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, shall testify of who? Of Christ. The Holy Spirit shall testify of Christ. Chapter 16, look at verse number 7. Chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He will be sent unto us. Verse number 8. And when he is come, he will, the Holy Spirit will, the Comforter will, reprove the world of sin. Is that what it says? He will reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of righteousness. He will reprove the world of judgment. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you where? Into all truth. But what if you never read it? Will you know what the truth is? No. But if you've read it, and you come across a word like grace or hope or peace, in your Bible, there's a hyperlink. It's underlined. It's in red. I'm just kidding. But there's a digital hyperlink. And you can go to that word hope and click on it. And you can use a concordance. You can use some kind of digital software, whatever. And you can click on hope. And you can find every single verse in the Bible that says hope. Or the word grace, or the word sin, or forgiveness, or worship, or worthy, or whatever word the Holy Spirit is glowing to your heart at that moment. Peter remembered. What did Peter remember? The word of the Lord. You can't remember the word of the Lord until you've read the word of the Lord, unless you've heard the word of the Lord, unless you've seen the word of the Lord, or unless you've experienced the word of the Lord. And what's so exciting is we don't have to do this ourselves. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself. That's a whole nother sermon. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit shall glorify Christ. And yet we as Christians think that we should glorify the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says no. The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. For he, the Holy Spirit, shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Okay. So, I could tell you how many pages are in the book. I could tell me how many words are in the Bible. I could tell you how many verses are in the Bible. That's not important. What is important is you have a book in your hand that looks intimidating, that looks unconquerable. How in the world can somebody read this? Do you know that some of Shakespeare's books are bigger? You know that, right? They've done a study of the King James English. Well, it used to be sixth grade level. Sixth grade. The New York Times, eighth grade. I'm just telling you. If you think the Bible is hard to read, read the New York Times. Please don't read the New York Times. But what I'm saying is, regarding readability, the Bible is easier to read. What about all those these and thous? Please give me a break. The these and thous are there for a reason. And if you don't know what they're there for, you need to study. It's important. So that intimidating book, as we're trying to read it through this year, if you take 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes, You can read through the entire book in a year. Entire book in a year. Cindy and I, when we lived in Rochester, we would drive from the city to our church in Greece. Every time we would pass by this guy who had, I don't know how many acres of land. He had this beautiful piece of property on the way to the church. And during the summertime, he'd be out there on his riding mower. And if you went to the church on any given day, you'd see him out there on his riding mower. I'm thinking to myself, what is he doing? It's like he's out there every day. He is. He's doing a small part every day. Because if he tried to do the whole thing in one day, it wouldn't happen. How many farmers harvest an entire field in one day? Depends on the size of the field, right? Okay, so what's in your hand is the most important book that's ever been written in the history of man. And you think you're going to conquer it in a day. You won't. It's impossible. But if you take small chunks every day, and even at the end of a day, after your 15-minute reading, you say, I got nothing out of that. I don't know why I read it. It's so boring. You've at least been exposed to it. So some point down the road, that boring genealogy or that boring Levitical plan of offerings, and what does that have to do with anything? Well, until you get to the book of Hebrews, it might not make any sense to you. But when you get to the book of Hebrews, you say, wait a minute, I've read that before. Where was that? That's when it gets gooder and gooder, right? The doctrine of recollection. Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Now, the whole purpose of the sermon is the invitation. This is where I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit has found you. The voice of God and the word of God has spoken to you. Wherever you are, geographically, spiritually, personally, has the word of God found you? Jesus looked into the eyes of Peter. Has the word of God looked into your heart today? If so, Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and he went out and he wept. He didn't just cry. He wept bitterly. You want to know why? He disappointed the Lord. Could there be a worse day in Peter's life? The Lord is going to get crucified. Hours before, Jesus said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And now you're going to deny me 3 times? So the invitation's up to you and God. John Bailey's going to lead us in a song. I'm going to pray. And as the Holy Spirit leads you, please don't disobey the Lord. This will be important for you. Lord, we come before you thanking you again that you don't mince words, so to speak. You have shown us one of the greatest heroes of the faith, and yet one of the key individuals in the life of Christ that was a disappointment to him. That said things that were inappropriate, did things that were inappropriate. And yet, Lord, you knew that Peter had incredible potential. But he had to get over these baby steps. Maybe you find yourself today in a place of baby steps where you feel like you're constantly falling. You don't know if you're ever going to be a success with God. Maybe you find yourself afar off, as Peter did. He was a follower, but he wasn't very close. You could be, if you remembered the word of the Lord. Again, maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. Maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you're without that assurance, that peace, and that hope of eternal life. You don't have a relationship with God and His Word. You could, you can, you should, you must. You must. Or the Bible says you'll split hell wide open. That's not what God came for. He came to redeem those that were lost. Father, I pray that you'd bless the invitation. Some might not feel like singing. They might need to pray. Some might not pray. They might need to cry. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in everyone's life today, but you do. You've exposed us today to the Word of God and the heart of God. Help us at least to realize that we are just like Peter. We will cuss and swear about some things, and we will deny that we even knew God. Help us, Lord, we pray, during this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me if you would. Take your hymn book. John, what number?